sahana bhavatu, sahana bhunaktu, sahana viryam karavavahai, tejasvi navaditamastama vidyavishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, page 77. Next, Sukadev Goswami described the future sons of the Pandu family. From Janamejaya, he said, would come a son named Shatanika, and following in the dynasty would be Sahasranika, Ashwamedhaja, Ashi Makrishna, Nemi Chakra, Chitrarata, Suchirata, Vrishtiman, Shushena, Sunita, Urichakshu, Shukinala, Pariplava, Shunaya, Medhavi, Nripanjaya, Durva, Timi, Bhadrarata, Sudasa, Shatanika, Durdhamana, Mahinara, Dandapani, Nimi, and Kshemaka. Sukadev Goswami then predicted the kings of the Magadha Dvamsa, or Magadha dynasty. Sahadev, the son of Jarasandha, would beget Majari, and from him would come Shutashrava. Subsequently, taking birth in the dynasty would be Yutayu, Niramitra, Shunakshatra, Brihadsena, Karamajit, Surutanjaya, Vipra, Shuchi, Kshema, Suvrata, Dharmasutra, Sama, Dyumatsena, Sumati, Subala, Sunita, Satyajit, Vishwajit, and Ripunjaya. Right? Because the point is these things are always the same standard things that happen. It's not that we're always thinking, oh, it's a new time, it's a new age, it's different, we can't do things the way they used to do, but it's the same old thing. Sukadev Goswami can tell you exactly who's going to go on. And here they're just giving an idea about what's the major thing. So generally it's coming down to when Krishna and Balaram appeared, but otherwise they can take it through to into 28 generations, into Kali Yuga. And then they'll stop there, because after that you don't want to know what's going on. Right? Then they'll skip to the end, fast forward through, you know, and then when Kalki comes and kind of cleans things up. But in other Puranas, then they'll give more. The Bhavishya Purana, it gives down to detail. It gives names. It talks about Akbar and everybody like that. It means, technically speaking, if the academics want to say it's interpolated, it would have to have been written by a Gaudiya Vaishnava, because it mentions our own people, everything like that. So the whole point is that these things are just standard stuff that always goes on. Not something special, not something unique. So this whole idea is, oh, we're new, we're special, we're unique, you're different. No, you're the same old stuff that's gone on every Kali Yuga since time immemorial. Like that. That's the way it is. It's always, it's the same thing. Because this is what people want to do. You take your birth, you act, live in a sinful way, you go to hell, you come up through the, you know, animal species, you come back, where do you take birth? Exact same situation that you were a human in before that you went to hell from. Right? So that guy that lives on toit and toity-toit, yet he takes birth again in the same place. Same kind of family, maybe different jivas, but it's the same situation. Same donut shop downstairs, same bagel shop across the street, you know, same pawn shop, you know, the next door, you know, like that. It's exactly the same. That's the thing. We're thinking, oh no, it's so different. You know, it's the same old thing. This idea that we're special and unique is so illusory. What's special and unique is someone who takes up Krishna conscious. Otherwise, that's why you see it's just names in the Bhagavatam. And if someone's a devotee, or becomes a devotee, then there's talk about them. They're special. That's unique in this world. Otherwise, it's just the same old stuff. Every time there's Brahma, he has the same sons, they all have the same names, there's the same guys that do the same philosophies, right? You know, Daksha always ends up with a goat head. You know, it's just always the same. Because you're dealing with the modes of nature. And that's what the individual wants. They want the same thing. We can say, oh no, but we want something so different. Do we? What do you put on your sandwich?
Cheese.
Okay, yeah. And the next day, it's going to be the same. You may make a little bit of adjustment, but you're not going to make too much of an adjustment.
Huh?
Yeah, so I've got, but it's still going to be the same. So. Yeah, you understand? So that you're not going to, so it's not that much of a change. So we can say, oh no, but it has to, no, it won't be, because we want the same. So the same modes, same place, same station, same, what is it?
Same
everything. That's why this term is giving chewing the chew. It's already been chewed. You've already chewed it. You know, it's not even that someone else is chewing it. It's that you're still chewing it. You know, it's like that's the whole point. Krishna consciousness means moving on. That's the uniqueness. That's the difference. Everything else is exactly the same. This whole idea is, oh no, but we're, you know, from the West, and it's a whole different thing. No, it's the same old thing. Right? They've always had kings all over the world and people becoming Krishna conscious. Then, you know, the losing of that Bharatvarsha shrinks. And so then there's people that don't. And then great preachers go out and preach. And so it expands. The same thing. The same thing. So it's not something different.
Because of attachment, you can't see it.
No, because we think we're unique, we're special, we're like that. You know, we're God. So of course we have to be special, you know, different, right?
The evolution of the human consciousness in every Kali Yuga goes through industrialization, modernization.
Same old stuff. And there may be some little variation in when they put what. You know, it's just like what's this? Da Vinci already worked out helicopters and everything. So it could have started off then, but, you know, there was still some mode of ignorance that needed to be experienced. So it takes a little longer. You know, it's the same thing. Same. That's the point. It's the same thing. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur can analyze it in the Tattva Vivek, just that there's basically, you know, some 20, 30 different kinds of philosophies and consciousness that's there. That's all there is. And he's talking about, you know, 311 trillion years. Within that, this is all you're going to get. It's enough to keep everyone busy. You know, somebody keeps their philosophy for a lifetime or maybe changes it a few times. But how many times do they change? Nobody goes through all 26. You know, they start off one thing, then they become a Buddhist, and then after that they become something else, and they just forget about all that. You know, it's just, it's the same. Same stuff. That's why it's mentioned. You just take whatever position you're in, connect that to Krishna, and move forward. But you have to come to the point, as we're discussing here, to be connecting to Krishna, how's favorable to Krishna, not just starting off what's favorable to us. Right? At the beginning we take what it is that we, our identity, what we like to do, finding out how that connects to Krishna. But once we do that and make that, then we'll start seeing the principles behind it. Because what are we going to be connecting to Krishna? Eating, sleeping, mating, defending, and some way of making money so we can eat, sleep, mate, and defend. Did I leave anything out? Right? So, therefore, you start from wherever it is that we're at, but then we come to the principle of it. We understand what is eating, and then, therefore, eating. Then we're taking prasad, and therefore, so it's prasad, what would Krishna like to eat? But the principle of eating remains. But in the beginning, we end up, you know, offering whatever it is we're eating to Krishna. And then we start from there. So that's the whole thing. Those don't change. So the principles remain. That's what we're trying to get to. When we understand that, then we can come back to the position, and it may be we don't need to change the position because it works fine. You know what I'm saying? You know how you say? bagels are perfect. You don't need to change them, right? So it's just, like, just what you put on the bagel, that might change. Right? Yeah. But, yeah. Yes.
Who don't become Krishna conscious, so then they will always be the same kind of human beings?
No, they don't adjust, because you, when you come back this time, you'll do something a little bit differently, so it keeps adjusting. That's why it says that the Brahma Samhita is mentioning about the yogis drilling the respiration from millions of lifetimes, because all this thing adjusts so slowly. You know, thousands of births, you know, to adjust, because otherwise if it changed so quickly, wouldn't we become bored? What would we, how would we keep ourselves busy since time immemorial? Therefore, you just make a little change. You know what I'm saying? You cook the beans, this time you throw in some jalapenos. Right? That's what you're doing. That you don't do a major change. You know, it's not that you're out in the backyard chewing on a bone or something. You know, that you know, that jiva who's your dog, he's doing that this lifetime. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, you make minor adjustments, and so that's then how your life adjusts. So next life it's like that. It adjusts a little bit more, right? And so instead of being born as a capsicum, you're born as a chili. Because they're the same family. Right? You know, just with progress, you get to the, what is that? That Buddha? That one? Some chili, there's some like ridiculous, it's about, I don't know, some...
Something.
No, no, this is some new chilies that have come up. They're like 10 times hotter. So, like that. You know, it's just, you know, you adjust, but you're still within the chili family. You know, and then after that, then you know, you're a tomato, then you're an eggplant. You know, but you're all still within the nightshade family. You know, so, you know, slowly, slowly, you move on. Until you become the emperor, you become the potato. Like that. Does that make sense? So, it's just slowly, slowly. So, it's not new. It's not, it's like that. That's this thing, that, you know, people get, oh, what are his last life? Who cares? Prabhupada said, just by if you analyze, you can understand what it was. What are your values? Where are they come? Otherwise, what did you do last life? Therefore, that's why you're in this life. Does that make sense? So that's not the big thing. Modern, that's so esoteric. That's so far out. Because that's the limit, I would say, of New Age, is that it's about the esoteric, these kind of things, but not actually going to the science of it. It's just about tasting it. It's not about knowing it. You know, because if you know it, who wants to hang out with ghosts and stuff like that anyway? You know? You know what I'm saying?
Then we can become devotees in one lifetime.
Yes. Then you move on nicely. Then you the whole point is, this is what's going to happen. You decide to become a devotee and take up Krishna consciousness, then you go out of that. But someone else will be born as Durdamana. If you're not, someone else will be. Right? In other words, Durdamana will be there, right?
It's like part of the scene.
Yeah. It's part of the scene. It's just a matter. It's just, you know, you don't show up, then the stand-in does the part. You know, somebody's going to be there. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the, so that's what we have to be. It means that's the idea, is we're getting beyond it. It's just straight standard, straightforward stuff. It's just that, and since it's not a big deal, Krishna's special, we don't talk about this. But otherwise, we get, oh, wow, what's that? What about this, that? And, you know. Okay. Shloka Anusharanam. Summary, verse summary. Verses 1 to 49. The descendants of Riksha. Verses 1 to 49. Srila Sukadev Goswami said, O king, the son of Devodasa is Mitrayu, and from Mitrayu came four sons named Chavana, Sudasa, Sahadeva, and Somaka. Somaka was the father of Jantu. Somaka had 100 sons, of whom the youngest was Prishta. From Prishta was born King Drupad, who was opulent in all supremacy. From Maharaj Drupad, Draupadi was born. Maharaj Drupad also had many sons, headed by Drishtadyumna. From Drishtadyumna came a son named Drishtaketu. All these personalities are known as descendants of Barmyasva, or the dynasty of Panchala, right? Because that's because Draupadi's known as the Panchali, right? The princess of Panchala. Another son of Ajamita was known as Riksha. From Riksha came a son named Samvarna. And from Samvarna, through the womb of his wife, Tapati, the daughter of the sun god, came Kuru, the king of Kurukshetra. Kuru had four sons, Parikshi, Sudhanu, Janu, and Nishada. From Sudhanu, Suhotra was born, and from Suhotra, Chavana. From Chavana, Kriti was born. The son of Kriti was Uparichara Vasu. And among his sons, headed by Brihadrata, were Kushamba, Matsya, Pratyagra, and Chedipa. So this Uparichara Vasu, he's the one who is mentioned at him, Vasudev Dutta, and Lord Nityananda, the most merciful individuals in the universe. Like that. I think he was, we all know Nityananda Prabhu, how just he would preach to anybody. So Jagai and Madai, so they're the evidence of the potency of the preaching and his mercy. Vasudev Dutta, then he was saying, telling Lord Chaitanya, let everybody in the universe go back to Godhead. He'll stay here and suffer all the reactions. Uparichara Vasu, I think he was somehow or another in hell, and he preached there, and people became Krishna conscious, and then like this. There was some kind of far out thing. So Uparichara Vasu, because he did some, how kings would sometimes fight for the demigods and do things for the demigods, so Indra gave him a special chariot that was crystal. And so he would fly around in the sky. So Uparichara means he was only up in the air. He'd just fly around in his, but it's crystal, so you just see him. You don't see the airplane. So that's cool.
Is he one of the vasus?
Not one of the eight vasus, no. Mm-hmm. Like that. He's just, that's his name.
Rantidev also prayed the same as Vasudev. We just read it.
Okay.
He's not considered one?
Not in the three mentioned by the acharyas, so. Like so it's how do you say? Means it's mentioned, it's special and all that, because all devotees are trying to preach. That's why he's probably mentioned. You could see he could turn his whole kingdom into devotees. So then that means he's very advanced. Okay. But we're just bringing it out because the acharyas mentioned Uparichara Vasu in with Vasudev Dutta and Nityananda.
Was Shishupal one of his descendants? Because that's Chaitya.
Must be. Must be there or someone else, maybe some brother or cousin or something. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that he didn't come up before, a few chapters back. Because a few came up some chapters back when they brought it down. Okay. All the sons of Uparichara Vasu became rulers of the Chedi state. From Brihadrata, Kushagra was born. From Kushagra, Rishabha. And from Rishabha, Satyahita. The son of Satyahita was Pushpavan, and the son of Pushpavan was Jahu. Through the womb of another wife, Brihadrata begot two halves of a son. When the mother saw those two halves, she rejected them. But later, a she-demon, Rakshasi, named Jara, playfully joined them and said, "Come to life, come to life." Thus the son named Jarasandha was born. From Jarasandha, because her name was Jara, so Jarasandha means who's joined by Jara, came a son named Sahadev. From Sahadev, Somapi. And from Somapi, Shrutashrava. The son of Kuru, called Parikshi, had no sons, but the son of Kuru, called Jahnu, had a son named Surata. From Surata came a son named Vidurata, from whom Sarvabhauma was born. From Sarvabhauma came Jayatsena, from Jayatsena Radhika, and from Radhika Ayutthaya. From Ayutthaya came a son named Akrodhana, and his sons were Devatiti. The son of Devatiti was Riksha, the son of Riksha was Dilipa, and the son of Dilipa was Pratipa. The sons of Pratipa were Devapi, Shantanu, and Bahlika. Devapi left the kingdom of his father and went to the forest, and thereafter Shantanu became the king. Shantanu, who in his previous birth was known as Mahabisha, had the ability to transform anyone from old age to youth simply by touching that person with his hands. So he was Mahabisha. He was a great king. I think he fought for the demigods and that. He was, you know, in the heavenly planets. I'm not sure if he was residing there or just there as the king, but I think he was just there as a king. There was some special program on, I think, Brahma Loka. All the demigods, everyone went up to Brahma Loka. He went along with that. When he was there in the assembly, then Ganga Devi came into the assembly, and at that time a wind blew and blew off her cloth. And so then all the demigods turned their face away. Mahabisha didn't. And Ganga noted that. And then after the program, then Brahma called them over and said, you know, this doesn't fly here. You know, like that. You do all that stuff on lower planets, that kind of jazz. So therefore, then Ganga had to come down and become Mahabisha's wife. So he took birth as Shantanu. That's how then they came together. Okay. Because the king was able to make everyone happy for sense gratification, primarily by the touch of his hand, his name was Shantanu. Once, when there was no rainfall in the kingdom for 12 years, and the king consulted his learned Brahminical advisors, they said, "You are faulty for enjoying the property of your elder brother. For the elevation of your kingdom and home, you should return the kingdom to him." So in other words, if he was just ruling as a regent, there wouldn't be the problem. But he was actually ruling that he's the king. So then the problem comes up. So if it's his brother's the king, like when Ram is gone, then Bharat, he managed the kingdom, but not as he's the king. He's just managing on behalf of. So if he'd done that, things would have gone nicely. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments to verse 15. Don't forget. Okay. Indra did not shower rain. But the person who gets married and performs sacrifice while the older brother is present is called Prativeta, and the elder brother is called Parivriti. Though your elder brother lives unmarried, you have married and enjoy first and have enjoyed the kingdom. You are Parivetā. Because of this fault, Indra does not shower rain. Therefore, return the kingdom to him. Right? Because the system is, when you have brothers, then they get married in that order. Younger brothers don't get married before the older, just like the daughters. Then the older one gets married, then it goes down. But the daughters and the brothers are in separate lines. So the daughters, even though they're younger than brothers, can be getting married before the brothers. They're in their own separate category. Like that. So that, or, and therefore, then he takes up doing yajna and sacrifice and all that before his brother. That's wrong. So his brother had gone to the forest, not being married, then that's a problem. Right? Now, if the older brother gets married, takes up, the younger brother goes to the forest, then that won't be a fault. Does that make sense? So that's the rule that they're applying here. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, "And when the Brahmin has said this, Mara Shantanu went to the forest and requested his elder brother Devapi to take charge of the kingdom, for it is the duty of a king to maintain his subjects. Previously, however, Shantanu's minister, Ashvavara, had instigated some Brahmanas to induce Devapi to transgress the injunction of the Vedas and thus make himself unfit for the post of ruler. The Brahmins deviated Devapi from the path of the Vedic principles, and therefore, when asked by Shantanu, he did not agree to accept the post of ruler. On the contrary, he blasphemed the Vedic principles and therefore became fallen. Under the circumstances, Shantanu again became the king, and Indra, being pleased, showered rain." Right? Because he did his part. right? Because he hadn't made that attempt, so he didn't know about the other things like that. But he, all he knows is that his elder brother went to the forest. Now he goes there, offers, it's worked out. Then okay, then it works. Does that make sense? And also here is that if you blasphemes the Vedic principles, that means he's reviling the Vedas. That's equal to intoxication. Right? We see somebody becomes very proud, they become intoxicated with their pride, then they say all kinds of nonsense about the Vedas and things like that. It's equal to intoxication. So it's not that, oh, we're just being intelligent. No, it's equal to the sin of intoxication. That's why it says you don't blaspheme the Vedic literatures or literatures in pursuance of the Vedic version. We may not follow sections of the Vedas, but that doesn't matter. Just like if you're cooking a sabji, you don't follow the recipe for a dessert. That doesn't mean that you have to speak badly about the dessert recipe to cook the vegetable recipe. Right? It's just what you're doing. So we as Gaudiyas, we follow the particular ones that apply to us, but we don't have anything bad to say about anything else. If it's authorized by the Vedas, it's bona fide. Just we have our acharyas, they tell us what will follow from all the recommendations. Because the recommendation is therefore broad across the board. It's there for everybody. Right? But then the Vedic concept is everybody's connected to the Vedas, and then there's the real purpose of the Vedas is Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense? So that's why then there'll be difference. But we don't speak against the Vedas. So if we say, oh, we don't say that, oh, that's nonsense, oh, that's karmakanda, that's equal to intoxication. We don't do that. Right? Something's karmakanda, it's karmakanda. But the point is how it's followed actually makes it whether it's karmakanda or not. There are activities that karmakandis always follow, but following that activity is not technically what makes it karmakanda. It's karmakanda because the consciousness is fruitive. That's why it becomes difficult to discern. Like the other day I heard someone's complaining, Garuda's a demigod. Like that. But, you know, it means amongst those who are not devotees, yes, they'll count him as a demigod. But amongst the Vaishnavs, he's counted as, the, you know, one of the greatest Vaishnavs. So he and Hanuman, they're always there with Vishnu. He, Hanuman, Narad, Muni, Vishwakshena, you know, Lakshmi, they're always. If you have nobody else in the picture, they'll be there. Right? So it's just a matter of consciousness that makes the difference. So there's things that's obviously one, and there's things that are obviously the other, and then there's the great majority is what's in between. Depending on consciousness, that's what shifts it from one to the other. That's what we need to learn. But not for ourselves. Now learning that means then we're using that how to connect things to Krishna, not how to get what we want. Does that make sense? In other words, it's an advanced principle. It should be used on an advanced position. Does that make sense? Yeah. Devapi later took to the path of mystic yoga to control his mind and senses and went to the village named Kala Pragrama, where he is still living. After the dynasty of the mood god comes to an end in this age of Kali, right, means after 28 generations, so it's already ended. Devapi, in the beginning of the next Satyuga, will reestablish the Soma dynasty in this world. Right? So it's there. So there's something wrong. He purifies himself. He brings himself back to the standard. Then he takes up the position. Otherwise, means according to our legislation, this guy would not be allowed to start the Soma dynasty. You know, but to purify, just like the next thing, then Ashwatthama, he'll be the Vyas. You know, so in other words, there's something wrong. They get purified during the Kali Yuga. They take up their activities when it comes back to Satya Yuga. So that's the point: is anything wrong can be corrected. Anything correct can go wrong. The only thing that's stable is God consciousness. Right, but everything on the material, you know, what's bad becomes good, what's good becomes bad. That's how samsara works, right? Bottom going to the top means bad's going to good. Top going to bottom means bad, good is becoming bad. That's just straightforward.
The same thing we heard about in the
That is one of the kings.
Yes, there's another king. But whether he's doing something wrong or not, that's another thing. But
so we'll be having always, you know, two kings of the sun and the moon dynasty.
They're always there. Always sun. Because kings mean sun and moon dynasty.
And then will the positions be swapped? In the sense, we had Ambarish Maharaj, who was the emperor of the Bhumandala of the Sun Dynasty, and we have Yayati of the Chandra Vamsha.
That may, it just means in different days of Brahma, then you might have different ways, different manvantars, different Mahayugas, all these different things. There'll be some slight variation, but it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you go to the restaurant, last time it was really good, this time not so good. Last time was really hot, this time is a little bit less hot. You know, you sat next to the window, this time you're sitting in the back in the booth. This time, you know, you sat at the table and somebody's taken one of the chairs because they needed their table. You know, like that. You know, the salt shakers, you know how you say, plug so it doesn't work, or it's bigger, or it's, you know what I'm saying? But it's the same thing. It just has those little minor. So every day of Brahma, the kalpa, it has a different flavor, right? And in the years, then there's in the sun cycle, there's 60 years. So each year has a slightly different flavor, but it's in five groups of 12. So the 12 years has a basic flavor, but it's different from the next one. But there'll be some. So in this way, it gives. That's why we think there's so much variety, because it's Krishna's energy is creating that. Like that. So, in other words, how you say? The universe is the original franchise. So it all works out exactly the same. Okay. From Bahlika, the brother of Shantanu, came a son named Somadatta. Oh, who was also on the battlefield, who had three sons named Buri, Burishrava, and Shala. And Burishrava was there. I think he was the one with the old one with the eyelids. You know? Yeah. From Shantanu, through the womb of his wife named Ganga, came Bhishma, the exalted, self-realized devotee and learned scholar. Now, so he's known as that. Doesn't say about king. That he does on the side. That's just his knowledge. That's his skill. But the actual outstanding is his self-realized and learned scholar. Bhishma Dev was the foremost of all warriors. When he defeated Lord Parasuram in a fight, Lord Parasuram was very satisfied with him. By the semen of Shantanu in the womb of Satyavati, the daughter of a fisherman, Chitrangada took birth. Srila Prabhupada comments to verse 20. Satyavati was actually the daughter of Uparichara Vasu by the womb of a fisherwoman known as Matsyagarbha. Later, Satyavati was raised by a fisherman. Right? Because she was found by the fisherman. And so there was a boy and there was a girl. And so the king, Uparichara Vasu, kept the boy and the girl he gave to this fisherman. So he raised her. That could also have something to do with it.
No, but that's the reason he gave her away.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he was very...
Okay.
That's how she got her blessings from Harsha.
Okay.
Yeah, because she had this order and he said, if you unite with me, and this order will go away, and you will be so fragrant that in 2 miles everybody will feel your blessings.
Yes. So then, yeah, because otherwise he stayed in the palace, that wouldn't have happened. The fight between Parasuram and Bhishmadev concerns three daughters of Kashiraj, Ambika, Ambalika, and Amba, who are forcibly abducted by Bhishmadev, acting on behalf of his brother Vichitravirya. Amba thought that Bhishmadev would marry her and became attached to him. But Bhishmadev refused to marry her, for he had taken the vow of Brahmacharya. Amba therefore approached Bhishmadev's military spiritual master, Parasuram, who instructed Bhishmadev to marry her. Bhishmadev refused, and therefore Parasuram fought with him to force him to accept the marriage. But Parasuram was defeated, and he was pleased with Bhishma. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Chitrangada, of whom, so that's the whole point, is that if somebody wants to remain a brahmachari, then that's a good position, even if it seemingly is not, as long as they can do it. It's not that he's not doing it and just making a show, trying to stay out of being responsible. No, he's doing it very, very nicely. Like the Kumaras, right? Narad Muni, they're all doing very nicely. So then not following the order of the father or the teacher or the guru to get married, then that works fine. Does that make sense? But if it's only because they're irresponsible and trying to, that's not proper. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued.
How do we define that?
How do we define that?
Give it a go, see how it goes. How do we define whether it's actually
real or not?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You want to know the definitive answer? I mean, it was, of course, asking Krishna.
Depends what the answer is.
Ask the ladies.
Okay. Yeah. If they're supportive, then it's,
they know.
Yeah.
They can tell. You give them all the names of the brahmacharis.
Yeah. They can.
And tell them, put how many, you know, are good could be brahmacharis, and how many can't be.
Yeah.
Like that, and they'll make the live list exact. But most don't consider using that as the method, so, yes. Yeah, so therefore you go by symptoms.
Yeah.
Like that. Means, is are they able to act, you know, in a humble way and this and that? Because if there's so much pride and this and that, then that means, where does that come from? That means then there's prestige.
Mm.
So that's social. So brahmacharis don't have an occupation.
Mm.
Right? Those who have that identity, grihasthas have that identity.
Mm.
So there's occupation. Because for a brahmachari, it doesn't matter if he's a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, like that. They're just brahmacharis.
Yeah.
They just engage themselves in activities that work for them. And so then they're good brahmacharis, like that. Does that make sense? So, you know, like that, you can tell something.
Amba situation is also quite interesting, because he was like in the field. He didn't kind of find
her. Oh, because she was interested to marry... Means she's been kidnapped by Bhishma Dev, but Bhishma Dev won't marry her because he's a brahmachari. He was kidnapping on behalf of his brother. But the point is because he did the kidnapping, then that's going to attract attention. Right? Means when you're talking about attracting attention, a boy approaching a girl, that attracts the girl's attention. But that's, except for the kshatriyas, then that's not recommended. Does that make sense? You know, generally that's not it's not considered the higher grade of marriage arrangements. It should be who the girl's interested in. That's the better arrangement. Does that make sense? Because the kshatriyas can use it because they may be attracted by the girl, approach the girl, but they're in no way weak or inferior. So the girl can't control them from that. But if others use that, then the point is the boy approached the girl, so then she's in charge. So it's not going to be satisfying. That's why it's not recommended. Kshatriyas can use it. Does that make sense? So this modern thing where boys go around and this and that and try the luck and all that, that's not recommended because it puts the girls in a stronger position. And then the girls won't be satisfied because the girl doesn't want to be stronger than the boy. She wants to constantly test them, but she doesn't actually want to be successful in being stronger. She's going to make her effort to be stronger, but it should be she fails. Does that make sense? So that's why the Vedas is not recommended. But because he's approached as kshatriyas, therefore she becomes attractive. You know, and so, you know, because he won, Shishupal lost. But since he's not accepting, she went to Shishupal. But Shishupal is not accepting because, you know, the rivalry of the stand. And so therefore then now she's stuck. So that's the whole point, is when you get involved in these things, it's a trouble. That's why brahmacharis technically don't get involved in these things. Because it'll be trouble. Like like that. But because of, you know, for making things work nicely for his father, he took up this position. So that's why it's not a standard position. Kshatriyas generally don't take this position. They, if they want to be celibate, then they don't. They go to the forest, like a Priyavrata. Right? And if they come to the kingdom, then they get married. So this is a unique position where he's functioning as a Kshatriya, but he's a Brahmachari, because it creates so many problems. Does that make sense? We generally don't have to worry about this. So. Yes.
How is Vishnu able to repeat the
class? He, by the blessings of the Lord, he's a devotee. Yeah. But Bhishma Dev wasn't there in those 21 generations. Ram also defeated him. But they didn't fight. It was just that when Parasaram got angry, he called his bow, which is the bow of Vishnu. That the bow came, but it went to Ram's hand. Okay. And then he understood, okay.
Parasaram only got Bhishma and that.
Parasaram taught Bhishma, but still, he's also taught by Brihaspatis, taught by Shukracharya, he's taught by so many, because Ganga Devi took him to the heavenly planets, so he was trained up there. I mean, when Shantanu first found him, he was shooting arrows into the Ganga and creating a dam. Because, you know, it's his mother, so they're playing. And he dams the whole Ganga. Right here, like, Ganga. And, you know, it's a kid out there shooting arrows and blocking the whole thing. And then when she comes over one place, then he'll shoot again there and block. She'll come over another place and he'll shoot. He's thinking, who's this kid? Right? You know, that's like a Kshatriya's dream. Right? Like but then he found out that was his son. Yeah, so don't worry about those things. It's just that's the way it worked out. Because the point is Parasaram is a Shaktivesh avatar, so if Krishna wanted that he defeat Bhishma, he would have. But generally in the battle between the Lord and the Lord is defeated by the devotee because of the devotion. So that principle is there. Does that make sense? Yeah. Good on all the dynastic elements. Okay. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Chitrangada, of whom Vichitravirya was the younger brother, was killed by a Gandharva who was also named Chitrangada. Satyavati, before her, Satyavati, before her marriage to Shantanu, gave birth to the master authority of the Vedas, Vyasadeva, known as Krishna Dvaipayana, who is begotten by Parasara Muni. From Vyasadeva, I, Shukadeva Goswami, was born. From him, I studied this great work of literature, Srimad Bhagavatam. The incarnation of Godhead, Veda Vyas, rejected his disciples. Headed by Pilate, rejecting his disciples, headed by Pilate, instructed Srimad Bhagavatam to me because I was free from all material desires. Footnote 32. Srila Jiva Goswami comments to verse 22 to 23 in Krishna Sandarbha, Anucheda 80. Vyasadeva had instructed the four Vedas and the Puranas to his disciples, but he did not teach them the Bhagavatam. Only Sukadeva was qualified to study the Bhagavatam because he was free from all material desires. This shows the superiority of the Bhagavatam to all Vedic literatures. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is the most confidential knowledge, it wasn't suitable for Vyas to teach it to anyone who was not qualified. Right? So he had other disciples, and they all got different parts of the Vedas and that, and they were very expert in those. But the Bhagavatam then was only given to Sukadeva. Does that make sense? Like that, the Puranas were given to Ramaharshan, right? And then his son knew them, Ugrashabha, and then he continues, so he's speaking here. But the Bhagavatam itself was taught to Sukadeva, so it wasn't given to the other disciples. That I'm not, I don't remember. That was... That generally, people got a whole group. Like Jaimini got Samaveda, things like that. But from these different disciples comes all your six systems of philosophy. So that's why Bhagavatam was only given to Sukadeva. Because then he would keep the proper line of Achinta Veda Veda Tattva. After Ambika and Ambalika, the two daughters of Kashiraj were taken away by force. Vichitravirya married them, but because he was too attached to these two wives, he had a heart attack and died of tuberculosis. Because he spent all his time with his wives, he didn't manage the kingdom. Actually, the ministers and prime minister ran the kingdom. So, it happens. It happens. Yeah. Bhadarayana, Sri Vyasadeva, following the order of his mother, Satyavati, begot three sons, two by the womb of Ambika and Ambalika, the two wives of his brother Vichitravirya, and the third by Vichitravirya's maidservants. These sons were Dhritarashtra, Pandu, and Vidura. Srila Prabhupada comments to verse 25. Vichitravirya died of tuberculosis, and his wives, Ambika and Ambalika, had no issue. Therefore, after Vichitravirya's death, his mother, Satyavati, was also the mother of Vyasadeva, asked Vyasadeva to beget children through the wives of Vichitravirya. Okay, so that means then the brother, that's Niyoga, so the brother begetting sons on the wife of his brother, like that. So then, this is still in Dwarpara Yuga, so it's still allowed. Kali Yuga, this is one of the ones that's forbidden. In those days, the brother of the husband could beget children through the womb of his sister-in-law. This was known as Deva Rena Sutopati. If the husband is somehow unable to beget children, his brother could do so through the womb of his sister-in-law. This Deva Rena Sutopati and the sacrifices of Ashwamedha and Gomedha are forbidden in this age of Kali. In this age of Kali, five acts are forbidden. The offering of a horse in sacrifice, the offering of a cow in sacrifice, the acceptance of the order of sannyas, the offering of oblations of flesh for the forefathers, and a man's begetting children in his brother's wife. Brahma Vivarta Purana.
Right.
Yes.
Why would this fifth one would be forbidden?
The fifth one.
Yeah, the begetting of the children. Because of the...
Because it's just attachment and consciousness and everything there. Because also in this new yoga, then it's not that, it's just in your standard, how you say, the emotional aspect is left out of it. So it's like, I think Manu mentions the brother, he wears his pure white, he's taken a bath. I think he's even covered himself in, I think, ghee or something. Yeah. And then it's very formally comes in. They produce a child, he leaves. So all the romantic stuff, going up, looking at the stars, and pointing out the different planetary systems, all that stuff is left out. Like that. So it just, that's not there. The romantic aspect is not there. It's very formal. That's why you see with Vyasadeva, he would just come to the room, and then conceive the child and leave. And so, therefore, because he is who he is, and they're who they are, therefore, to have connection with him, they had to come up to a standard of tapasya in that. Because it's like, they're kshatriya girls, the husband's a kshatriya, the brother's a kshatriya, then there's no need of any extra effort. But he's a Brahmin, so they have to come up to that level. So he suggested that for 1 year they do austerities. Then he'll come, you know, in a very nice form and that, and they'll be quite comfortable. But Satyavati, because she was worried without a king then there'll be chaos, so she said, no, we have to have the children now. So he says their austerity will be, I'll come as I am. That means he's just doing his like that, covered in dirt, hasn't taken a bath, like that. And so that's why we ended up with as the kids as they were. So that's the point, is that you have these aspects. So it's not considered it's considered something that is used, but it's not considered something that's standard. Because Manu mentions that actually it being introduced as a regular practice, that was introduced by King Vena. So we all know Vena, he wasn't exactly above board, so therefore he made this point more prominent. But otherwise, you know, it's one of those things that can be used, but it's not a standard practice. And so in Kali Yuga, because of consciousness, why it's not allowed in Kali Yuga, then if we use Hannah and her sisters as a reference, then we would understand why this is not allowed.
Doesn't work out.
You know, or anything by Woody Allen.
My bad guy.
It all ends up doesn't work out. Yeah, so that's why it's not allowed.
Okay.
Yeah, just say yes. Okay. Srila Sutta Goswami, Sukadeva Goswami continued. Dhritarashtra's wife, Gandhari, gave birth to 100 sons and one daughter. O king, the oldest of the sons was Duryodhana, and the daughter's name was Dushala. Pandu was restrained from sex life because of having been cursed by a sage. And therefore his three sons, Yudhishthira...
We're doing that again.
Does it get louder each time? Seriously, you just said. Bhima and Arjuna were begotten through the womb of his wife, Kunti, by Dharmaraj, by the demigod controlling the wind and the demigod controlling the rain. Pandu's second wife, Madri, gave birth to Nakula and Sahadeva, who were begotten by the two Ashwini Kumaras. The five brothers, headed by Yudhishthira, begot five sons through the womb of Draupadi. These five sons were your uncles. From Yudhishthira came a son named Prativindya. So here that was a question about him. So here's saying, now he's brought down, these are your uncles, right? From Bhima, a son named Shutasena. From Arjuna, a son named Shutakirti. And from Nakula, a son named Shatanika. O king, the son of Sahadeva was Shutakarma. Furthermore, Yudhishthira and his brothers begot other sons and other wives. Yudhishthira begot a son named Devaka through the womb of Pauravi, and Bhimasena begot a son named Ghatotkacha through his wife Hidimba, and a son named Sarvagata through his wife Kali. Similarly, Sahadeva had a son named Suhotra through his wife named Vijaya, who was the daughter of the king of the mountains. Nakula begot a son named Naramitra through his wife named Karenu Mati. Similarly, Arjuna begot a son named Iravan through his wife known as Ulupi, the daughter of the Nagas, and a son named Babruvahana by the womb of the princess of Manipura. Babruvahana became the adopted son of the king of Manipur. Srila Prabhupada comments to verse 32. It is to be understood that Parvati is the daughter of the king of the very, very old mountainous country known as Manipur State. 5,000 years ago, therefore, when the Pandavas ruled, Manipur existed, as did its king. Therefore, this kingdom is a very old aristocratic Vaishnav kingdom. If this kingdom is organized as a Vaishnav state, this revitalization will be a great success, because for 5,000 years the state has maintained its identity. Excited to come firsthand. Yes, yes. The Vaishnav spirit is revived. There will be a wonderful place. Because this is the first time we're having class. Everyone's back.
Yes.
If the Vaishnav spirit is revived, it will be a wonderful place, renowned throughout the entire world. Manipuri Vaishnavas are very famous in Vaishnav society. In Vrindavan and Navadvip, there are many temples constructed by the king of Manipura. Some of our devotees belong to the Manipura state. But I think the different things of the king, at least something of them, whatever has been given to the devotees in Navadvipa and in Vrindavan, Radhika. So they were, yeah, always quite prominent. You ever seen the stamps, the tilak stamps with the holy name and stuff like that? Those are all from Manipur. So that was all the Manipur Vaishnavas, they used to make them. Stuff like that. Some of our devotees belong to the Manipur state. The Krishna conscious movement therefore will be well spread in the state of Manipur by the cooperative efforts of the Krishna conscious devotees. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. My dear King Parikit, your father Abhimanyu was born from the womb of Subhadra as the son of Arjuna. He was the conqueror of all Atiratas, those who could fight with 1,000 charioteers. From him, by the womb of Uttara, the daughter of Viradvaj, you were born. After the Kuru dynasty was annihilated in the Battle of Kurukshetra, you also were about to be destroyed by the Brahmastra atomic weapon released by the son of Dronacharya. But by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, you were saved from death. My dear king, your four sons, Janamejaya, Shrutasena, Bhimasena, and Ugrasena, are very powerful. Janamejaya is the eldest. Because of your death by the Takshaka snake, your son Janamejaya will be very angry and will perform a sacrifice to kill all the snakes in the world. After conquering throughout the world and after accepting Turu, the son of Kailash, Kalasha, as his priest, Janamejaya will perform Ashwamedha Yajnas, for which he will be known as Turaga Medha Sat. The son of Janamejaya, known as Shataniko, will learn from Yajnavalkya the three Vedas and the art of performing ritualistic ceremonies. He will also learn the military art from Kripacharya and the transcendental science from the sage Shaunaka, right? Because Shaunaka is now hearing all this, right? From Sutta, and then he'll teach it to, then, you know, farther down the line. The son of Shataniko will be Sahasranika, and from him will come the same Ashwamedha. From Ashwamedha will come Asmik Krishna, and this son will be Nemi Chakra. When the town of Hastinapur, New Delhi, is inundated by the river, Nemi Chakra will live in the place known as Kaushambhi. His son will be celebrated as Chitrarata, and the son of Chitrarata will be Suchirata. From Suchirata will come the son named Rishtiman, and his son, Sushena, will be the emperor of the entire world. The son of Sushena will be Sunita. His son will be Nidichakshu, and from Nidichakshu will come a son named Sukinala. The son of Sukinala will be Pariplava, and his son will be Shunaya. From Shunaya will come a son named Madhavi. From Madhavi, Nidipanjaya. From Nipanjaya, Durva, and from Durva, Timi. From Timi will come Bhadrarata, and from Bhadrarata, Sudasa, and from Sudasa, Satanika. So this Timi is not the Mongol Timi. Right? From Satanika will come Durdhamana, and from him will come a son named Mahinara. The son of Mahinara will be Dandapani, and his son will be Nimi, from whom King Kshemaka will be born. I have now described to you the moon dynasty, which is the source of brahmanas and kshatriyas, and is worshipped by demigods and great saints. Right? It's interesting. You're sitting there, and you're hearing about your whole descendants for so many generations from that. In this Kali Yuga, Kshemaka will be the last monarch. Now I shall describe to you the future of the Magadha dynasty. Please listen. Sahadev, the son of Jarasandha, will have a son named Marjari. From Marjari will come Shrutashrava. From Shrutashrava, Yutayu. And from Yutayu, Niramitra. The son of Niramitra will be Shunakshatra. And from Shunakshatra will come Bhadraksena. And from Bhadraksena, Karmajit. The son of Karmajit will be Shrutanjaya. The son of Shrutanjaya will be Vipra. And his son will be Shuchi. The son of Shuchi will be Kshema. The son of Kshema will be Suvrata. And the son of Suvrata will be Dharmasutra. From Dharmasutra will come Sama. From Sama, Durmatsena. From Durmatsena, Sumati. And from Sumati, Subala. From Subala will come Sunita. And from Sunita, Satyajit. From Satyajit, Vishwajit. and from Vishwajit Ripujaya. All these personalities will belong to the dynasty of Bhadrarata, which will rule the world for 1,000 years. Srila Prabhupada concludes, this is the history of a monarchy that began with Jarasandha and continues for 1,000 years as the above-mentioned king appears on the surface of the globe. So 1,000 years into Kali Yuga, they'll be ruling, and then after that it'll be finished. So then, you know, 2000 BC, then it's all, by that time it's all ended, all these sun and moon dynasties, and that's why it's considered that, oh, nothing was very developed and all that, because the Vedic dynasties had all finished.
Yes? So the monarchs which are still, there are some monarchies still in this land.
Yeah, but they're not from the sun and moon dynasty. They don't have the connection. They're just, you know,
old tribals.
Yeah, various tribals that somehow or another learned that if you put your rotten grape juice in a very fancy shaped glass, you're sophisticated, instead of drinking it out of a horn. Right? And you have a fancy name for it. Right?
So there's like nothing at all left
now? Those two are there. They'll go. Means that culture is something's left, but it's the dynasties themselves are finished. So that's just...
This will leave you detached. You
yes. Yeah.
This is where it's going to go, so...
Yeah, it's finished. So.
Just some culture is still there.
It means you follow the Vedas, then you can have that same culture. But it just means these dynasties coming down like that, that parampara of that, that's gone. That's all gone. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaur.